Steve asked me if I would speak on the faithfulness of God. Well, what a huge subject. Really, really huge. And I've kind of narrowed it a little bit, not to do it a disservice, but to at least come to a conclusion at the end, given half an hour. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his command, his covenant, and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments." That's quite a statement, isn't it? In the dictionary, it says faithful is loyal, constant, person of one's word, conscientious, trustworthy. And also, it's one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit wants to and does bring about in the lives of those believers who, all believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, it says, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." So I'm kind of zeroing in on the fact that God is faithful to his promises, to his words that he speaks towards his people. God is faithful to his word or his promises. Jesus said he hadn't come to do away with the prophets. Do we understand that the prophets were sent by God? Do we understand that they had a message from him to give to God's people, the Israelites, from heaven? There were various prophets, weren't there? We know their names, and you know they're in our Bible. But the prophets were sent by God, and they were precious to the Jewish people, and particularly when Jesus was on the earth, they were always sizing him up against what, you know, next to what was said, in a wrong way, really. And they kind of kept thinking that he's not really doing God's will. He's going against them. And Jesus wanted to confirm to them that if they studied the prophets, that they would have been speaking about him coming. In fact, Jesus and the Father's commitment to fulfilling all that the prophets had said about Jesus went right down to him receiving the sour wine on the cross just before he died. And after he died, the fact that they didn't break his legs while he was hanging there. As in the Psalms it says, "And not a bone in my body was broken." So all right down to the finest detail that the prophets had said, sent by God, was fulfilled by Jesus, which is a wonderful thing to show that God was faithful to his promises, to his word. In 1 John, a very well-known bit of scripture, in 1 John 1, 8 and 9, it says, this is what, if you've been to the Church of England, if you used to be a Church of England person, you'll remember this very well, because it's read every Sunday morning and recited by the congregation, which is, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember that? Yeah. So God came in Jesus to win us back and to make the way for us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and to be able to keep that relationship. Isn't it wonderful that we don't lose it forever by sinning now? Isn't it just wonderful that this scripture that we've just read here, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, is a wonderful thing to hear, because we can always repair the relationship with our Heavenly Father by humbly confessing to him, because he's faithful to forgive us. We need it, don't we? Otherwise we're totally finished. I mean, we give our lives to the Lord one day and 5 or 6 minutes later it's broken. That's just the way of it, isn't it? I know I may be exaggerating a little bit on how long it takes, but it's personal, but that's the reality, isn't it? So we find that we're actually loved into submission. And that's the kind of position that God wants us to be in. Loved into submission. Not kind of organising our own life now and having God as part of it, but being absolutely in submission to whatever he wants to do with us. And going back to what I said about being in YWAM, and that's the place where God showed us that. I remember being shown that so strongly, that I'm not my own. It's whatever he wants to do with me. I remember John Wimber used to say sometimes, because he came here, didn't he, in the 80s or something, to do courses, and he used to say, we're change in God's pocket. And if he wants to buy an ice cream, that's all right with me. So it's, you know, anything God wants us to do, be it really, really humble something, be it almost insignificant in the eyes of men. If that's what he wants to do, that's fine, because we're submitted to him now, because he loves us. He loves me. Honey Tree, I don't know if you heard of her. It goes back a bit. It's like a Christian Joni Mitchell in the hippie times. You remember, anybody heard of Honey Tree? Anyway, she was a singer, and she wrote lovely, lovely songs with God. And she wrote a song about being a servant waiting in the hall for whatever the master of the house wants for her to do next. And that just put over that. Have you heard of that? No? Okay. Anyway, puts over that attitude and that total surrender. All right, Matthew 18, 21-35. This is quite a long bit. I read it a few days ago, and I looked at it again. I thought, I can't even remember reading this. I mean, I must have done. I mean, it's part of the gospel, but it seemed so fresh and so sort of other at the time. And I thought, well, God must more than say something. Sorry, I'll keep moving this away, don't I? Can you hear me all right? Oh, good. Only when I do the up here like this, Beryl, isn't it? It's when you can hear me. Okay. All right. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Just to kind of put it in context here, that or to explain anyway, that this enormous number of times to forgive is being said on purpose by Jesus in this story that he's telling, because he wants us to grasp how large and how wide and how amazing is God's willingness to forgive you and me. So that none of us can, even on our desperate, depressed moment, even on the most horrible visit from the devil, can we say that God can't forgive me now? The times we've been tempted to say that in our lives, eh? When we've just done something, even on purpose, actually, at the time, I'd say, God, you just can't, he won't now, he's just not going to do it. I'm finished. It's not true. It's not true, you're not finished. God's forgiveness is absolutely enormous. This is like a supernatural number that Jesus has just said here. You can't get any bigger than it. And then he goes on to say this story. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. I got a thing down in my notes at the bottom of the Bible here that says, a talent was a measure of weight varying in size from about 58 to 80 pounds. It was used to weigh precious metals. 58 to 80 pounds, and this man owed his master 10,000 of those. Again, you know, isn't it wonderful of Jesus to tell a story like this? Because it's just an impossible, huge debt, isn't it? I mean, who could run a debt like that up? So, see what I mean? He's just putting over again his amazing forgiveness that's available. Absolutely amazing. Why is he making this available? I put it to you that he's making it available because he values his relationship with you and me higher than anything you can imagine. And the possibility that we can finish that relationship by doing something is totally cancelled. There's nothing that we can not be forgiven for. Apart from believing that the Holy Spirit is from the devil. Okay? All right. And holding that as a genuine belief. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? Anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit won't be. And that's because they don't want to be, because they solidly believe that he's not from God. Okay? So don't fear. Just because I've told you that doesn't mean to say you can do that. All right? But there we are. Go on with this story. But since he did not have the means to repay, surprise, surprise, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me. I will repay you everything." He was dreaming at that time. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. A 100 denarii was equivalent of 100 days' wages. No comparison to the huge, enormous debt that the guy who he owed it to owed his master. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. And then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. That's a strong bit, that, isn't it? Do you remember a period when you haven't been able to forgive somebody? And wouldn't for quite a long period. Can you remember that? Yeah, there are some nodding. Well done, Anthony. There are people who are nodding, and I could say, yes, I remember that. And you feel such pain, don't you? You feel ill, like you could easily die. It just torments and hurts you in a inside sort of psychological way. Sometimes it gets physical, I suppose, but it's just painful, so painful. Jesus is talking about that. And I remember laying awake at night, having done this again about somebody quite a few years ago now, and I felt so awful, so horrible. And I just had to say to God, "Oh God, I just can't stand this anymore. I just want you to take it off me, and I just leave this person in your hands. I forgive them, Lord." That's the wise thing to do. And it leaves the situation in God's hands then, and he can deal with it, and not yourself, and you don't have to suffer anymore. Jesus always invites us to forgive. We're going to read a bit more about that a bit later. In fact, probably now. Oh, see that? Oh, yes. Here it is. Mark 11, verse 20 to 26. Everybody okay? Good. Mark 11. Here we are, 20. Yes. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Do you know this? Do you know what happened to the root, the fig tree? What caused it? Jesus wanted, if he was hungry and he wanted to have one or two figs off the tree there, and he looked around in the tree and there wasn't any growing in it. So he cursed the tree. And the tree began to die and wither then, and they've noticed it now the next day that it's withered up from the roots. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you." And whenever you stand praying, forgive. There it is. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. You see this amazing, first of all, these words that were spoken by Jesus when Peter spoke about the withered tree, where are the words from? Are they an idea that that Jesus had? Is it some man who's mentioned them? No, it's not, is it? Because we know that Jesus only spoke what he heard his Father in heaven saying. So these words come from heaven. That's meant to get us right in the heart when we realize that. That this kind of thing, although it is in human understanding impossible, with God is possible. With those who have a relationship with him. And all these times that he talks about forgiving and being forgiven, him wanting us to realize that we must keep our relationship open with him, fresh, and always in a place where we can be right with him and walk with him and hear him and do what he says. Is that what we want to do? Because you know, we're made for the glory of God. We are. That's because that means that we're not our own. Whew. That's a relief, isn't it? It is. In fact, the relationship that we have with God, or we can have with him if we don't have one, is the most important and fundamental thing in our life with him. We must have it and we must maintain it. We must keep it always open. Right, I'm going to read John 14, 15 to 23 now. If you love me, Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me because I live. You shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. It's Jesus talking about Jesus, God coming and living inside us. When I used to work at Brook House in the detention centre, there was sometimes people used to talk about the Word of God in a way that kind of made me, forgive me for saying it like this, but, you know, like cringe, like shivering, and not because I wasn't kind of happy with it, calling the Word like it was like a spell or something. You know what I mean? And they kind of shiver in their voice when they say the Word, you know. And sorry, I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody, but quite often that people who speak in that sort of a manner and have an attitude about God's Word as a kind of something separate from him, they just have their own life to live, and they kind of think they can use God's promises to kind of bolster them along. That's not the way God intends that to work. Do you understand what I mean there? Yeah. We're meant to walk with him, and when circumstances come along that need us to lean on God. His word, his promises are for our assistance to fulfill his word and to bring glory to his name, not to do with us at all. We are submitted to him and surrendered. So please, I just feel an urge to kind of put a plea for God, please maintain your relationship with him. your walk with him and the time spent with him. Don't let it be an option that you can take it or leave it. Don't treat him like that. See that he's alive and real. And you're about his business. Amen. Can I pray now? Is that okay? Oh, thank you, God. Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. It just seems so amazingly unworldly that we can walk with you and hear you and do what you want, Lord, and fill your joy, oh God. Be filled with your love and have compassion that comes from you. That's what you want it to be like for us, Lord. I pray for all my brothers and sisters here and myself that we would always be submitted to you and surrendered to you, Lord. Not be ashamed of you and be used to bring many people to yourself, Lord, because we're your servants, Lord. Submitted to you. Yes, Lord, we do want to move in the miraculous. We do want to see that kind of thing happening. We know that, Lord, it's just got to be part of us following you and obeying you. Not as a kind of show or a demonstration, Lord. Just like how you were, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord, can we be like that? Can your glory be seen, Lord, through us, Lord? Please, my God. You know what the days are like these days. Seems time is short, Lord God. Many troubles and threats, Lord, and fears, Lord God, and wars and stuff. People in great trouble. Not knowing where to look, Lord God. Please, Lord, could you use us, Lord? Would you take us as your surrendered children, Lord God, and lead those people to yourself? Would you bring your wonderful healing and understanding and wonderful saving power into action, Lord? We ask you in the name of Jesus, our lover, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.